Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this nice-looking Tuesday. Thought there was a chance of rain, but haven't really seen any over at our, you know, in our part of town, which, again, it's still, it's even though it's been there for a couple of days.
The 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
2 weeks.
Nearly two more weeks yeah. Before the bridge there at Wrights Mill Road crossing I-85 is expected to be. Now, that was the estimate, and the note said they're working around the clock to try to beat that estimate of 2 weeks.
Now, two weeks is how long it could take them to reopen the bridge?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was sort of they're figuring out the damage, and that's going to take
two weeks. They assessed the damage yesterday. Aldott assessed the damage yesterday.
Andy, I think there's a chance. We were talking about this off the air yesterday. I think there's a chance I heard that accident.
Dan lives, right.
I live pretty close to that bridge.
Maybe a half mile down, along university on the side toward the interstate. Yeah. So it's just right back in his backyard.
Without giving people too many specifics about where I live.
That's a general.
I am shockingly close to not just the interstate but that bridge. And yeah. I think I heard it on Saturday morning, Friday night, like something. I mean, there was certainly a commotion. I've heard accidents on the interstate before. So I mean knowing the details, thankfully, no injuries or something.
That's exactly right. Be aware of that if you hadn't heard, and you're going to need to either go toward Chihuahua or from Chihuahua back into town. You've got to find an alternate route. I have tried a couple of them. Today was a longer one than I expected. But also be aware if you're on I-85 going north or south, the outside lanes right there near the Wrights Mill Road Bridge are closed because that's where the crews are going to be working to get the bridge, make sure that it's structurally sound.
And what a bottleneck that could create. But, it's necessary
to get the bridge going. Fortunately,
so be safe.
Yeah, fortunately, at least, for the folks that live here and drive around, in a few days, a lot of the students will be gone because finals are going on.
Our buddy, the pastor, his latest message is, about the importance of patience. It's about not necessarily giving up on a prospect, but I think in general it's probably good advice to tell folks, be as patient as you can.
Well, yes, just remember. That's the thing I have to do is remember every day and don't just leave at the time that I normally used to. All right, so there are sort of our PSAs and things like that. Dan is at the board today, so it's his fault today if something goes wrong. We are pleased to be joined here in studio. It's been a while because Auburn's had baseball games on Tuesdays for quite a few weeks. The voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here in the studio.
Good, Andy, how you doing, man?
Yeah, great. Doing well, thank you. Good to be with you. I can't remember the last time I was in the studio.
It's been a while.
Because it's either been Tuesday basketball games, Tuesday basketball travel,
right,
or baseball. So it was probably either early February or late January.
Yeah, it has.
That I could join you in the studio.
Yeah, about the time I retired. Probably.
Right. Exactly. Andy joined us on Friday. I wasn't here, Andy, right, because I was making my debut for Troy softball on ESPN+, which I had a good time.
And he had a good game.
Yeah. Yes. Well, actually, Friday night's game came down to the there was a game tying RBI double with two outs in the seventh to force extras and a walk off home run in the tenth
for the
Trojans to win. South Alabama won the next two. And the
they fired Dan after that.
No pitching changes in the game on Friday. Both starters went the full 10 for both teams. They had their Friday aces, and I believe South Alabama's girl started on Sunday too. After going 10 innings on Friday.
That's definitely not unheard of.
Two of the top four teams in the Sun Belt, and two coaches that are doing a pretty good job. We haven't talked very much about Auburn's upcoming search for a softball coach, but that's the assumption is that they're going to be looking for someone to succeed Mickey Dean when the season is over. I wonder if they would look to especially with teams competing at the top of the Sun Belt Conference. I wonder if they would look at either of the coaches in the state of Alabama that have been. Without knowing anything about the situation, I wonder if it's Eric Newell is the coach at Troy. and Coach Clark at South Alabama are two coaches who have been successful and know, you know what, you gotta, it's like the music, man. You gotta know the territory. And you know, winning at South Alabama or winning at Troy would suggest they know the lay of the land with softball in the Southeast.
I have not heard a list of names out there for Auburn softball at this point, but Auburn also has to. Auburn is also in the market for a new women's tennis coach as well. So that we may see that before the softball coach.
You're right. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. I would imagine that John Cohen doesn't want to, you know, have it out there open for too long. So that's something to keep an eye on as we approach the end of the school year with a lot of sports winding down. Boy, golf is really the highlight of everything that's going on right now. I mean, the men are number one and the women also top 10 and hosting next week.
Yeah, starting Monday at the Auburn University Club, the women will host the regional. Auburn will be the number two seed there behind South Carolina. I think Auburn tees off at 8:00. On Monday morning, admission is free. You want to come out and see some great women's collegiate golf. It doesn't get any better than what you'll see, at least regionally, at Auburn. And the Auburn men played like the number one team in the country.
Great that it came down to what it did. I mean, number one versus number two, right, not just in the SEC, but nationally there for the SEC championship.
So Auburn goes and ties for the stroke play and gets the number one seed going into match play. Freshman Jackson Coivin wins the individual championship pretty well running away. And then the team goes on and wins the team championship. That's a trifecta when it comes to golf. And now Auburn will be a number one seed somewhere.
Somewhere. A lot of speculation that it could be Baton Rouge.
I think it'll be somewhere close. I don't think they'll ship Auburn deep.
Yeah, well, I mean, what were the other regionals we were looking at?
Yeah, it's going to be revealed tomorrow on the Golf Channel. So the six regional sites are Baton Rouge, West Lafayette, Indiana, Rancho Santa Fe, California, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Austin, Texas, and Stanford, Palo Alto, California.
I could see Auburn going to Chapel Hill as well.
Tennessee, Florida State. I'm looking at NBC.com's projection of the field right now. Okay. Tennessee, Florida State, North Carolina, Arizona State, Vanderbilt, and Auburn are the six projected one seeds
in the field. So that's where Baton Rouge seems to make more sense. If Carolina's one of the top six and they're hosting,
I suppose the question would be between Auburn and Florida State, who deserves to stay closer to home? Because one of those teams could end up as the one seed in California, in Rancho Santa Fe or in Stanford.
It's hard to imagine Auburn's not going to be pretty highly ranked. I mean, after being number one and beating number two this past week.
It just seems like maybe one of those teams could be the one seed in Baton Rouge, and one of those teams could be the one seed in a Western region. Mm-hmm. I've heard, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Stanford, I've heard, is an immaculate on-campus golf course. The one they play, I mean, one would think with – they've produced a couple of noteworthy golf pros, you know, but it is apparently like I know someone who went out there when Auburn played Cal and got to see the course, and whoever gets out there is going to at least enjoy the scenery a little bit, although you still got to figure out the Stanford golf team.
Correct.
Andy Burcham with us here. How long are you with us?
I got a couple more segments.
Okay. Well, no, I wasn't trying to get rid of you. I was just wondering.
I didn't know.
I mean, So Andy is here. If you have a question or comment for Andy, we'd love for you to join in, and you can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You also can text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center.
One of the things we've been talking about the last few days, Andy, is, I mean, how much different this time of year is than just a few years ago because of the transfer portal. I mean, that and the odds on talking much Auburn or college basketball in late April, early May was just unthinkable a decade ago. But now, I mean, looking at the situation with Auburn, with all the returnees they have and adding J.P. Pegues and looking to add another spot or so, it's virtually impossible not to see Auburn projected very high, not just in the SEC, but nationally next year.
I've seen some of the projections out there, the way too early,
right?
You know,
polls
fill in the blank. Yeah, and Auburn is thought of very highly at this point. And I think the return of Jahni Broome will fuels that more than anything else. You got a Dylan Cardwell back, and what you had coming back anyway, and you've added a very good point guard in Pegues, and you know, you're out there looking for another point guard, maybe another big to play in that role, and you're, you know, you've got a team that will be very, very good. There's a lot to be excited about when it comes to Auburn basketball, coming off of an SEC tournament championship, albeit a disappointing end to the season, to be sure. But with all those players that have announced that they're coming back, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to the Auburn University Tigers.
John Fant is a college basketball writer for Fox Sports, and he updated a preseason top 25 earlier this week that had Auburn at 13, and that's with Auburn not
That's
having,
probably as low as I've seen one. Yeah. Right, I mean, because I've seen Auburn in at least three top 10s.
Right, and that's acknowledging that Auburn might not be finished adding to the roster right now. So I mean, they're going into the season in a position of strength. You know, one of the, if not the. The highest the expectations have been for a season under Bruce Pearl, I would imagine. I think that's probably where they are. And this timeline has really changed in college basketball, right? Because the end of the spring semester, I mean, you used to look for guys who would make NBA draft decisions, mm-hmm. but the way the transfer market has impacted college basketball and the way now entire rosters are built up of underclassmen who played last season at a different team. I mean, look at what Arkansas or Kentucky or USC are going, you know, those teams, the first-year head coaches that have to hit the ground running. What Ole Miss tried this past year, that's going to become more of the norm. And while teams are building their roster from the ground up, right, while teams have you know, taken a wrecking ball to what was previously there and they're starting over, Bruce Pearl has 170, 175 of his 200 minutes per game on the roster right now, and he's feeling pretty good about, you know, where those minutes are going to go.
I think it's odd that Bruce, in addition to the portal, will have two true freshmen on the roster. Because
it's going to be very experienced or very young. There's not a lot in between.
No, but even to see two freshmen on your roster in this day is a little bit odd now because of the transfer portal. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're generally going to be pretty highly touted. They're going to be freshmen with high expectations.
And these two are.
Yes.
They will play early and play important minutes early, I believe.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. All right, I know Dan and I will talk a little bit about a couple of the names. but, I mean, Auburn has Duke Miles on campus right now. The point guard from High Point, we've talked about a good bit, originally from Robert E. Lee in Montgomery before he went to Troy and then to High Point.
Three years at Troy playing a Scott Cross system that I think asks guys to do similar things defensively to what a Bruce Pearl system does. I don't think he'll be a straight. If Duke Miles ends up at Auburn, I think one of the reasons Bruce would be interested, on top of the fact that it's a guy who would represent minutes at the point guard position who has started 60-something games in his college basketball career, the thought of being able to bring in something like that and get older in the backcourt, but also somebody who is local guy, proven himself at the mid-major level before coming here, and familiar with sort of the dirty work that's asked of a Bruce Pearl guard on the defensive end, in transition. You know, some of the stuff that's maybe not measured when you just look at, well, here, this many points per game, this many assists per game, is he going to fit in? I think Duke Miles might be a fit beyond that because of some of the things that you know. And I guess a more general question for Andy would be like, what stands out to you as things that Bruce Pearl looks for when he recruits guards? Like, what do you think characteristics are?
It's not just guards. It is fit for the team. I can't tell you how important that is to Bruce Pearl and his team. I mean, he asked the guys that are on this team about these guys that are coming in, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a backlash, I think that he takes that into great account. But just look at the track record of since the transfer portal opened in the last couple of years. Look at the track record of Auburn and mid-major players coming to Auburn, you know, coming up from the mid-major to the Power Five, or from Division II yeah. to the Power Five.
Or from the junior contracts.
I believe this. I think that Bruce feels that those guys are even more hungry than other Power. Now, I'm not saying that Auburn's not going after Power Five guys. That's not what I'm saying. But he likes that dynamic.
And it's worked so well for Auburn and Bruce that at times I think the players that Auburn is bringing in may be underestimated a little bit because they aren't the big names or they aren't from the big name schools. Right. And those are the guys that get some of the wow factor. But Bruce is going after guys who have worked. A lot of them, too, we've seen, you know, with Denver Jones and Janie Johnson, guys that are from the state and grew up and have seen and didn't get that opportunity to play in the SEC, right. And now they are.
And he's also had, I mean, I think about a guy like Chad Baker Mazzara, who is somebody who played Division I basketball at multiple schools, found himself at a junior college in Northwest Florida, the best junior college in Northwest Florida, the one in Niceville. But still, it's somebody who bounced back from that, maybe realized, I don't know, you know, there's a lot to the Chad Baker Mazzara story, but the thought that, yeah, I mean, he had a taste of Division I basketball. Now he gets another chance at the Division I level, and he seized it this season when he was called upon it, and he goes into next season as a key piece of what this team is going to do.
Absolutely, he does. I will be fascinated to see how Chad Baker Mazzara responds, not only from last season but just to the end of last season. How does he respond to? I think it will be very favorable.
I think the entire having so many players back from that disappointing finish is going to be serious motivation
for
them.
And Bruce Pearl plays chip on the shoulder as good as anybody.
You're not kidding.
Anybody.
And I think it's a different situation, obviously. But I think if you think back to the foul that Samir commits at the end of the Virginia game, I think that being brought up as often as it was fueled him in part to have an all-conference season. Wasn't he first team all-SEC?
Should have been.
The following season, 2020, the year that the conference was the year the tournament was called off.
Yeah.
By the end of that season, Samir was playing as well as anyone in the league. And that was not a guy, if you remember when Auburn got him, that was not a guy anybody looked at and said, just like Chad, it was not a guy on signing day people said, oh, that's a first team all-conference kind of guy.
Well, I think it shows you what Bruce and his staff, what they do in developing players. And I think they do it as well as anyone.
Developing and first being able to target and find the kinds of guys that can fit in as well.
Well, thinking about and it's part of what's tantalizing about all the guys that are going into year two, right? Denver and Cheney and Chad and the players that joined the team last season. Thinking about the jump Jani Broom made.
And we
from year one to year two.
And we saw flashes. We're talking basketball right now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's How crazy, isn't it? That's what I was saying.
We saw flashes from Denver. We saw flashes from Cheney. We saw more than flashes from Chad Baker Mazzara a year ago. All right, so now what's the next step? Not only for Chad Baker, but for Denver Jones. Do we see him become the scorer at Auburn that he was at Florida International? Do we see Cheney become the type of player that he was on the Division II level when he was the Conference Player of the Year, now in Power Five? We saw flashes from all of those guys a year ago. Does that progression continue coming season?
You would think. Normally, that from year first year to the second year in a system with a program, it does. Andy Burcham with us here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll get to our first break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 gets you through.
Since 1997, River City Door has helped take the guesswork out of the garage door process. Maintaining a reputation as the region's premier garage door company, River City Door provides detailed installations with their highly certified technicians. Serving the I-85 corridor, River City Door offers both residential plus commercial garage door installs and repair. Design your door today at rivercitydoor.com or stop by the new showroom at 300 North Dean Road, Suite 4 in Auburn. River City Door, proudly serving West Georgia and East Alabama.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers. If you're looking for a reliable and powerful off-road vehicle, check out the full lineup of Landmaster UTVs at University Ace Hardware. With a tough steel frame, four-wheel drive, and strong suspension, Landmaster UTVs can handle anything from hauling gear for a hunting trip, tackling chores around your property, or exploring new trails. Landmaster has a UTV for you. Visit University Ace Hardware today and experience the ultimate UTV in off-road performance.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
What's up, guys? This is Uncle Keith, founder of Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, Southern-style salsa, born in our Alabama kitchen, now found in local stores like Kroger, Publix, and Piggly Wiggly. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce goes well with burritos, nachos, taco night, and that old faithful chips and salsa. Order and ship nationwide to your friends and family at UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. Remember, y'all, that's UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. It's the best darn salsa you'll ever eat. It's good, y'all.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine exercise, playing ball outside with the kids, riding bikes on vacation. I never worried about keeping up. But now, my joint pain has started slowing me down. I decided to make an appointment with the orthopedic clinic. Their surgical partners had the experience, technology, and personalized approach to care that I was looking for. Best of all, it was close to home. I'm thankful I chose the orthopedic clinic. Don't let joint pain slow you down. Visit theorthoclinic.com and schedule your appointment today.
What's it mean to be a Four Seasons Federal Credit Union member? It means you're family. We know you by name and care about your financial well-being. For 60 years now, Four Seasons members have enjoyed competitive rates on savings, checking, and loans, especially auto loans. Our hometown team is here for you, and membership is surprisingly easy. Stop by one of our two locations or visit online at fourseasonsfcu.com for details. Four Seasons accounts are federally insured by the NCUA. Membership eligibility required. Loans subject to credit approval.
Trust Dixie Overhead Door to restore your garage door with a comprehensive tune-up. For a limited time, it's free for Dixie Cares Plan members and only $49.99 for others. Avoid a real-life nightmare and take care of the most important door in your home. Regular maintenance can reduce noises and potential breakdowns, extend the life of your opener, door, tracks, and springs, and quickly spruce up the space, especially important if it's turned into your new man cave.
0-3-3. The drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 24 minutes after 4 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, drew off one more day. He should be back tomorrow from visiting family down in Northwest Florida. So Dan is running the board today. I did it yesterday. I think we came through all right yesterday.
There we go. I forgot to turn my mic on. I think it's going. You know, it's
that's fitting.
Yeah. And it's great that I forgot to turn the mic on to say I think it's going well so far is the thing I was going to say.
We get in the habit now, and it's good to run the board every once in a while. It really is, to just sort of, you know, keep the, you know, just in case. You know, just in case of emergency, need to be able to do it. But yeah, to yesterday, I was forgetting at times to cut that last mic off, and you get in the habit when somebody else is running the board, you just expect it to be on when you're ready to talk.
I started to sort of gently knock at the table to remind Bill that my microphone was
on. Yeah, it was only his that I kept that I was leaving on.
So me talking into that microphone before turning it on to say that is borderline announcer jinx, which makes me wonder if Andy, if there's a moment that stands out, moment or two that stands out in your career as a classic announcer jinx moment.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Is there one you could share with?
No.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Because I'll say this on.
Because it might jinx it even more.
How about this on Friday? On Friday, calling the game for Troy in South Alabama, I pointed out that the second baseman for South Alabama is it second baseman in softball?
Can yes. You say? Okay. Yeah.
I used it anyway.
I mean,
I went with
if
it.
They're playing their right of the bag. That's second baseman.
I wasn't sure if I just go second base or what to play it safe. But the second baseman was at the plate. Zero homers on the season, and I point that out
Boom.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Pulls one over the wall.
The only one that I will talk about is Sonny is very good at talking about somebody's free throw percentage for an opposing team when it's really good when they go to the line. And he has a little bit of power. There's something goofy going on there. So
that, and it's probably – and he probably hopes that continues.
For sure.
I told Andy a while ago, and we haven't gotten into it. We'll talk some Auburn baseball here. Really, really nice to get that losing streak snapped. But I told him I was scared to death. I was afraid of every word you were saying when they loaded the bases with nobody out in the seventh inning, and I'm thinking, and it's a 7-4 game.
Yeah.
I'm just as you describe it, I'm trying to picture just from the inflection, just as you start to say a swing and oh my, you know, thank goodness, a sack fly. Great job by Parker Carlson.
Parker Carlson's been very good for a while now for Auburn, and he was very good in both of his outings this past weekend, and he was stellar on Sunday against LSU, and he faced the tough part of their lineup too. It wasn't like he was facing 5 through 9 the whole time. I mean, he went through their lineup. And
that was the heart of the order there in the seventh.
Exactly. And then he got their top two hitter, their number one and two hitter, in the ninth. So that was a terrific job that he did. And Auburn was able to get some offense early, scored 5 runs in the first. LSU got back to within 2. Auburn got another run to make it a 3-run game, and it held up for the Tigers. So that's a good win for Auburn. Could have been a series win for Auburn if they find a way to win that game on Saturday that they lose in the bottom of the ninth. So they come home with a little bit of momentum, and they get ready for Ole Miss Friday night at 6. A reminder that Saturday's game starts at 7 because of TV, and then Sunday at 3. So it's weird times.
Yeah, it
6,
is.
7, and 3. This weekend.
Well, you got graduation. Yeah, is that the reason for the 7 o'clock?
I thought maybe they were pushing it to after graduation ceremonies were over on Saturday.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, I think it's on linear TV both Saturday and Sunday.
Huh.
So it's on the Plus on Friday.
Yeah, we'll play at midnight if ESPN tells us to. So, I mean, that 7 o'clock is probably.
Unfortunately, we have to adhere to that for those of us on the radio side. But, yeah. 6, 7, and 3 this weekend.
Right, and that's, you know, Parker's a great example of, and we talked about it yesterday with Coop, that this, the way conference play has gone, I think, you know, some of the freshmen have had a lot of, they've had to learn a lot in a relatively short period of time about college baseball because they've been thrown into high-pressure, high-leverage situations very early in their careers, and guys like Parker and Coop singled out Cade Ballew as another guy where it's like he's. I mean, they've come a long way in their freshman year.
3 hits, 3 RBIs. I think it was 3 RBIs on Sunday for Cade Ballew, and he reminds me. They're not the same kind of player, but he reminds me of what Chris Stanfield was to last year's team. He got in the lineup, and you couldn't take him out.
Yeah, now,
and it's the same way right now for Cade Ballew.
I look at Cade, and he does not look like a freshman.
No.
I mean,
physically,
but I understand what you're saying is the similarity is a guy given an opportunity, a youngster grabs it, and you can't get him out of the lineup.
Right.
But, I mean, he is he has such a very strong array of tools. I mean, he's a very toolsy kind of guy, rangy. I mean, nice frame. He's still going to fill out a little bit more. Runs well, throws well, and man, I like that left-handed swing.
No question about it. He has been one of the most pleasant surprises on this year's ball club, and he's had to be. Unfortunately for the Tigers, I mean, they've had to rely on some young guys this year through injuries and guys that haven't quite, you know, figured it out at this point. So.
And Cam Tilley would be another freshman that I think is also, I mean, that, and he had the...
Well, listen, I mean, of all the freshmen coming in, that was the guy. I mean, he was the recruit that you know, was the most heralded coming in. But, boy, his last two outings, last Tuesday night, the final two innings of the run rule game against Alabama, Florida A&M, and then what he did with, 7 strikeouts and 3 innings or three innings of work down at LSU.
3 scoreless innings in the Saturday game.
He has great talent. And I the future is incredibly bright for a lot of these young guys that are getting some playing time, but most notably right now, Cade Ballou and Cam Tilley. And Cade might be a surprise of how well he has played early. That doesn't surprise me about Cam Tilley. I mean, this guy was a national team player, and I can't wait to see how he develops.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we continue one more segment with Andy Burcham here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is Kevin Tuthope, owner of Byron Smokehouse in Auburn. It's that time of year again, spring. Pool parties, lake trips, and long boat rides. Let Byron's be your one-stop shop for all barbecue this spring, so you don't have to worry about food and can focus on relaxation. Whether it's a chip sandwich for that afternoon boat ride or our famous ribs by the pool, we've got you covered. And with graduation and weddings right around the corner, don't forget we cater too. And who doesn't love Byron's barbecue at their big event? From wedding receptions to rehearsal dinners to graduation parties, we got you covered. Byron Smokehouse, 436 Opelika Road in Auburn. War Eagle.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at hometown prices, plus friendly, local, expert service. So before you hit the woods, the field, or the water, head to Reynolds Outdoors on Geneva Street, Opelika, on Facebook and Instagram, and at reynoldsoutdoors.net.
It's time to stop dealing with unreliable network copiers, printers, and scanners, and waiting for days for service. ABS of Auburn is your locally owned and operated solution. A full-line Canon, Lexmark, Toshiba, and Ricoh dealer, ABS of Auburn specializes in smooth, efficient office operations. Get the systems, tools, and expertise you need for streamlined productivity, plus reliable support that's always on call.
ABS of Auburn, how may we help you?
Call 334-329-7000 to schedule a free on-site consultation today.
If you truly care about your feet and want to make them happy, check out Auburn's newest footwear experience, Love to Run. With the area's only pressure mapping system to analyze foot function, Love to Run identifies the perfect shoe for you. With brands like Ultra, Brooks, Hoka, they'll have your feet comfortably covered. So whether you're training for a marathon or just trekking through the marathon of life, Love to Run is ready to set the pace with you. 1957 East Sanford Avenue in Auburn.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building Supply, East University in Auburn, across from Cary Creek Publix.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. One more segment with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, here in the studio. Andy, no midweek game this week because of finals for baseball. And now Auburn's got series against the teams right ahead of them. I mean, the immediate goal has to be win a series. You've got Ole Miss, Missouri, and Alabama left. Auburn needs to win, I would say, of the last nine. They probably need to win seven of the last nine to have a good shot of making the SEC tournament.
And that's the most immediate goal right now. And you've got Ole Miss coming in. Ole Miss lost 2 of 3 this past weekend to Alabama, I believe, in Oxford.
Yes.
And Auburn's got out Ole Miss this weekend. Auburn goes to Georgia Tech Tuesday. Still want to win the midweek games.
Sure.
At this point, you got Tech a week from today at 5, then you're on the road at Missouri with a brand new head coach and a team that has played well at times and of late, though, has struggled. And that has been traditionally a very tough team for Auburn to play. You play Samford in Hoover 2 weeks from today in your final midweek game, and then you close at home against an Alabama team that is really good coming in. So there's a lot to play for this Auburn team. I'm talking with Butch Thompson yesterday. I mean, right now, that's the goal. They're playing for Hoover at this point, and they've got work to do. They've got to climb over a couple teams at this point. Not just one. They've got to climb over a couple to get into the play-in game on Tuesday
and they're what, three back?
Yeah. So it's a very tough road for Auburn to make any kind of postseason at this point. But that's, I mean, as Butch Thompson has mentioned, if you think about it, Auburn's in the playoffs right now. Auburn's in the playoffs to get to Hoover at this point.
And Coop mentioned yesterday, you know, the teams that Auburn needs to beat to get to Hoover.
That's right in front of you.
Are the teams they're playing the next couple of weeks. Right. And every game is going to have playoff stakes for this Auburn team. Because even, I mean, we were doing the math yesterday. If Ole Miss takes the series 2-1, your path feels all but blocked to the S. I mean, I guess you could still you could maybe get there, but you'd be falling pretty far back in the overall record too.
When you win that series, you also have the tiebreaker against that team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's why it can be a two game swing when it comes to the standings at this point. Three years ago, the last time that Auburn did not go to the NCAA tournament, Auburn clinched a spot in Hoover on the second to last day of the regular season. It may come down to something like that for Auburn this year. They have a more uphill climb, I think, this year's ball club than that team did 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question. And it's just been a nightmarish group of assortment of things that have happened to this team. And now, right now, the pitching seems to be, starting pitching especially, and we mentioned Parker Carlson out of the pen too, but I mean, pitching seems to be coming around.
Right.
And it's just difficult to find consistent hitting, and they don't have all the parts that they normally have there, all the bats in the lineup.
Just got Mason Maynard's back last weekend. He had his first start this past weekend in Baton Rouge. I think there is still some question as to whether they get Bobby Pierce back at the plate anytime soon. And the same is true for Ike Irish and the injured ankle.
That is really, really tough when you talk about those three guys
Think about it. I mean, you're going into this season. Think about what you thought this team would go through with prolonged periods of time without Bobby Pierce and Ike Irish in the lineup. I mean, that's two of the key, not only defensive players, because Ike was going to be your everyday catcher, but it's two of your power
that's
guys.
That's two of your top three hitters that you expected coming into the season.
And you talked about Cooper McMurray, who was on the show with you weekly through his NIL deal. Guys, I mean, he
has no protection.
They can pitch around him every time,
right
now. And I think he's pressing a little bit right now because he's so badly he wants to play well. And he wants this team to win. I think it's natural to see that. So, if you do get Bobby,
and
he really
wants to impress us too. I think that's another thing to keep in mind with Coop. Is that, you know,
I'm sure that's very at the forefront of his mind.
The tiger takes pressure.
I can't speak to that because I'm not in that boat. I'm just kidding.
No, you don't have to. So,
no, but I
see. I was nice with that.
You were setting me up. He is a terrific player for this team. But it's basically he is your offense at this point with regard to power and from what he did a year ago. And teams can just – they can pitch around him now. So getting Ike and or Bobby back I think is vital at some point to get those guys back in the lineup for this Auburn ball club. And, you know, you get an Ole Miss team that is in much the same boat that you are at this point. Mm-hmm. Not quite, but they're fighting for a spot as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it looks like the weather's nice, even with the odd times. Yeah. Hopefully good crowds.
Absolutely.
At Plainsman Park this weekend. 334-3. You don't have to write it down, Dan. I mean, you've got the mic, so we've got a call.
Honorary Drew replacement, but we've got Clay calling the show. What's up, Clay?
Hey, how – doing today?
Doing just fine, Clay.
Hey, you know, it is, and just to be a stand doctor, I'll just, if you want to call me baby, I'll be a spin doctor. It really has
little
been
miss,
a
little
tough
miss,
year.
Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, also a hit by them.
Yeah. It's been a tough year on Auburn because also you mentioned Bobby and Ike and Mason being, you know, somewhat limited on the offensive side. But then, you know, you kind of count on Gonzo to give you seven innings a game, and he's just not recovered from his injury. And also, he had a great midweek game this week, but he's been all over the board. And it seems like if we could just be bad at both scoring and defense on the same days instead of having great pitching and no offense or great offense and no pitching, it would be a complete different, you know, deal.
You look at the first part of the schedule in the SEC, and you're facing the toughest teams in the SEC. And by the time you get through that, then all of a sudden your pitching starts to pick up and the hitting isn't there.
Yeah.
It has been tough for both of these to gel.
Well, for all three parts. I mean, Auburn has not been a terrible defensive team, but they have had games where they make a couple of mistakes that end up being the difference in the ball game. So you're right, Clay. I mean, just putting the three parts together has been difficult.
Well, this past weekend, I thought the starting pitching was good.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn did not make an error. Auburn played well defensively. And until Sunday, though, the offense. I mean, you had two hits on Friday, three hits on Saturday.
Right.
Man, Andy, Saturday was just heartbreaking. I mean, it was just, I could hear it in your voice. You wanted to throw up at the end of that game, as I did.
Yeah.
And now I want to say this to Andy. It's why I called today, because Andy's in there.
Uh-oh.
There are play-by-play guys. I'm 50, fixing to be 51 years old. I'm 50 years old. So pretty much 83 is where my memory starts. And I will say the greatest of all time play-by-play and color team, in my opinion, was Jim Fife and Joe Dean Jr. calling basketball.
That's a great
pair.
That
was a fun
pair.
Yeah,
I mean, hands down, they were so good. And it's a toss-up between Rod and Stan doing football and you and Rod doing baseball. Right. And I will just say that this year, I've listened to every game at some point, maybe not every pitch of every game, but you and Brad are doing such a great job of keeping us entertained and calling the games, the little jabs y'all take. It's a pleasure listening to y'all on the radio. You do such a wonderful job. And let me ask you this, Andy.
Yes.
Were you sidekicking with Rod at Florida State?
Yeah.
With the dropped third strike.
Yeah, that was
home run.
That was a 97 regional. Yes. Yep.
That is still to this day. Even all of Jim Fife's calls, that is my favorite call of any Auburn sporting event ever.
Wow.
Because y'all just, your emotion just comes out. And Rod says, swung on, strike three, game up. Whoa. He dropped the ball.
Yeah.
He dropped the ball.
There is a picture of that very play. Shot from behind the Auburn dugout. Auburn was in the third base dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of that pitch. And as you can see, the umpire starting to give the motion that it's a foul tip. Florida State's already coming out of the dugout to celebrate a win. And then two pitches later, David Ross hits the most famous home run in Auburn history.
This is back when I was young and I was playing competitive softball at the time. I'm sitting in my car with my hand on the key, and I'm like, crap. And I was just about to turn my car car off listening to the game. I was like, oh, crap. No, got to keep listening. And they're sitting there waving, saying, look, we're fixing the start. And I heard it, and, dude, when he hit that home run, that is really one of my favorite Auburn memories of all time. And if you could tell me how to get that picture, I will hang it up in my office with all my other Auburn pictures.
I have only been told of that picture. I've never seen that picture. I've been told that there's a picture out there somewhere of that pitch.
Well, I have confidence in our listening audience.
Absolutely.
I mean, last week I put out a cry.
I was trying
to find someone, and man, I mean, from the podcast with folks listening live or on the podcast, yeah. I would bet that there's someone if it is available somewhere, they'll be able to let us know.
I'll do a search.
And I would nominate, not trying to unseat the David Ross home run, I would nominate Steven Williams from 2019.
Well,
it's on the short list, and
it's very similar because it's an SEC, it's an Auburn team at an SEC or an ACC team. It's the undefeated game on a Saturday, and it's a game that Auburn was dominated until one pitch. And it's very similar to what happened at Florida State. Auburn came back even further at Florida State to win that game, but there's some striking similarities between those two pitches, and of course, both of those teams ended up in Omaha as well.
Well, and that's the Tim Hudson year.
97 is the Tim Hudson, David Ross.
Did he not pitch on Friday and on Sunday, the second game after playing center field?
I don't think he pitched Friday, but he did pitch. He pitched what turned out to be the winner take all game on late Sunday night or Monday or whatever it was.
I took an old record player that had a radio in it and run a wire outside of my house because I could only pick it up on AM radio back then. And so I'm just listening to that game.
Yeah.
I have still to this day never seen a minute of it. But I'm sitting there dying on the floor because I listened to game one and we lose.
Yep.
And so it's 1-1. And for somehow we always got screwed and got sent Florida State to play them. But I won't get into that. I will tell you that is one of – yeah. Nothing will ever take the kick six.
Sure.
23-22. But, man, that is right in the top five right there.
There's a great story that goes to the Tim Hudson starting that final game because that Florida State team was loaded. That may be the most talented Florida State team they've ever had. They thought that was the team that was finally going to win them a World Series. J.D. Drew and all that.
Is that the 30-30 or 40-40 season? Because I know J.D. Drew was one of the only people to ever do.
I think it was his last year there.
Might have been the 30-30 season.
Anyway, so Huddy starts what turns out, it's the winner-take-all game. And Auburn has lost, as mentioned. Auburn's lost the first game. And then Huddy comes in. And the first inning, I think J.D. Drew batted third. And the guy in front of him, I think, struck out. And he walked past J.D. Drew, back to the dugout, and he said, "We haven't seen anything like this from a pitcher this year because the splitter was working." Auburn ended up winning.
Future Braves teammates.
Great stuff, Clay. We really appreciate
the call.
Thank
you, Clay. Appreciate the call, buddy.
And
appreciate the memories.
Yeah, I know you've got to run, Andy. But yeah, I'm glad you were here for Clay's call.
Absolutely, that's very nice. That is one of the great moments when I talk to classes on campus. And they ask me about great moments in my broadcasting career. That is one of the first ones that I talk about. The David Ross home run in 97 at Florida State.
Absolutely. All right. You give us a rundown of what's going on.
5:45, we're on the air Friday night. 6:45 on Saturday. And then 2:45 on Sunday for the three games between Auburn and Ole Miss at Plains and Park. I hope to see everyone out there.
All right. Yeah, hopefully great crowds. Andy, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you at the ballpark.
There you go, guys.
All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star backyard is the place to make lasting memories, like roasting marshmallows on a cool fall night. That's it.
Turn it nice and slow. Get it toasted all... Oh, no, it's on fire. Oh, you want it on fire. Okay, that's a choice, I guess. Crunchy. For five-star backyards and the most memorable experiences, Yellowwood brand pressure-treated pine. If it doesn't have that yellow tag, you don't want it.
Whether you're a senior golfer or pro athlete, high school football player or little league superstar, injuries are sometimes just part of the game. When it happens, it's nice to know the Orthopedic Clinic is here to get you back in action. The team of physicians at the Orthopedic Clinic offer the latest in treatment, procedure options, and complete rehabilitation for knees, hips, ankles, spine, and more. Don't let aches and sprains or more serious orthopedic issues keep you on the sideline. Visit theorthoclinic.com and schedule an appointment today.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at hometown prices, plus friendly, local, expert service. So before you hit the woods, the field, or the water, head to Reynolds Outdoors on Geneva Street, Opelika, on Facebook and Instagram, and at reynoldsoutdoors.net.
I'm Jessica Samuel with Opelika Power Services. Opelika Power is committed to delivering the highest level of service and value to our customers. We are devoted to meeting the needs of our customers through safe, reliable, and affordable delivery of electricity to the home. We're proud to serve you. Please visit our website for more information about the benefits of public power. We thank you for your business. We're Opelika Power Services, hometown people working for you.
The Edward Vaya College of Osteopathic Medicine in Auburn is dedicated to its mission of transforming medical students into caring, compassionate physicians. VCOM partners with Auburn University for student activities, shared learning experiences, and research opportunities. Students are instructed in a hands-on learning environment by outstanding faculty members that are dedicated to student success. VCOM is working to improve the health of Alabama's citizens by increasing the number of primary care physicians throughout the state, especially in rural and underserved areas. Find out more at vcom.edu.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply is your hometown home improvement store. You'll find what you need when you need it. And as a Russell Rewards member, you'll be in the know about monthly specials and exclusive offers. Russell Building Supply, East University in Auburn, across from Cary Creek Publix.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us here in the studio.
Thanks, Andy. That was great.
Yeah, and if you missed any of it, I encourage you to check out the podcast.
Yeah, Podcast The Drive, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, they also sponsor the text box, 334-564-1840. You can get the podcast however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
All right, we're coming up on our top of the hour break. Don't forget, at the bottom of hour number two, Jake Crane of Crane & Company will join us. When we come back for the second hour, we'll talk a little bit. Auburn with a visitor on campus for basketball. Another visitor did not make it. Doesn't look like he's going to make it in. Auburn has scheduled another visitor as far as football is concerned. I believe they have one on campus as well as we speak. We'll talk about that and some stories coming out about more of the possible, more of the changes that are possible for the future of college football and college athletics in hour number two. So stick with us. The second hour of the show is coming up. By the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can be a part of the show. You can call in on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
And we'll have Jake Crane joining us at the bottom of this hour. In the meantime, phone lines are open. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind. Sports-wise, we talked a little transfer portal in the first hour. Auburn has a basketball visitor on campus, Duke Miles, the point guard originally from Robert E. Lee, and then High Point via Troy is visiting Auburn, and Auburn would love to add him as another player there in the backcourt to go along with J.P. Pegues. And then Tahad Pettiford and Denver Jones.
And for Duke Miles, I mean, this is a guy who's played 4 years of mid-major college basketball. There's a question of how many years of eligibility he has left because he did have a season where he only played 6 games before suffering a season-ending injury. So maybe he has 2 years left as a college basketball player. But we know he has at least 1 year left. He's not played at the power conference level. It would make sense for a guy like him to make the jump if there's an opportunity for him at an SEC school, especially an SEC school that's going to go into the season as one of the favorites to win the league. And that's where Auburn is right now. So I could understand why a player like Duke Miles, if it's his last year of college basketball, or even, you know what, even if Duke Miles has another year, we know J.P. Pegues only has one. So if Duke Miles comes to Auburn,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's the possibility that he could do more in his second year than he does in his first. But what we know is that Auburn's going to need some minutes, maybe. I mean, and they need J.P. Pegues' insurance and more. And Duke Miles is a skilled enough offensive player that maybe he could, like K.D. Johnson, which is, I guess, the similarities as far as what kind of role would you think Duke John or what kind of role do you think Duke Miles could have on this team? I would look at what KD was doing the last couple of years, where Auburn occasionally needed him at the one, they needed him at the two, they needed him for toughness, they needed him as a microwave, a change of energy coming off the bench. And I think Duke Miles could provide all that if he ends up signing with Auburn. Like I think it's a really, like, the moment I heard his name linked, the moment I heard he was in the portal, it's one of those guys that, you know, you say, man, it'd be, I mean, I guess I'm biased because I saw him early in his career, but, you know, you think, man, it'd be really cool to see if it pans out and he gets to come here. And in fact, he's at least on a visit. We'll see what ends up happening. But Duke Miles in Auburn's crosshairs at the moment as far as a target to add to this roster.
Now, the other player that was supposed to have been visiting at the same time today and tomorrow, R.J. Godfrey canceled his visit. The Clemson junior power forward / center, the sixth man for Clemson this past year, and it appears he is headed to Georgia. Looks like Georgia has offered him a better deal, which would appear to be more minutes, perhaps maybe not a guarantee, but assurances that he has a really good chance of being a starter, and that would significantly increase his NIL possibilities as well.
I mean, there are a lot of SEC teams still looking to fill their rosters, a lot of major conference teams with minutes to offer in the portal. A lot of coaches who have made made moves in their careers and are now starting over at new places. So, I mean, I think it's I think there's a lot of dust that has not settled yet in the transfer portal.
Oh, no.
Mark Pope building his roster. Calipari getting a really nice pickup from the Tennessee Post. I do. Is going to play for Calipari at Arkansas, which is that's a nice get for him.
He was
one of the better posts in the SEC last year, and he's going to go play for Cal in year one in Fayetteville. I saw Evan Miyakawa is a guy who does sort of advanced analytics for college basketball, and he was talking about the players that Mark Pope has brought in. Mark Pope has signed 5 guys who, if you go by what they did last year and sort of what they would be projected to do, he has maybe signed 5 guys who project as top 3 defenders at their position.
Huh.
In the SEC this year. So they're not the flashiest offensive guys, but their defensive player ratings and their defensive analytics are great, which is such a departure from what Calipari was doing, right? To think that Kentucky is
well, now maybe if you have that and you add a big-time scorer or a couple of guys that can score,
it's
that's a quick way to be pretty darn productive.
It's an interesting way of doing it. But Mark Pope going out and getting high impact defenders to come in, veteran guys to come in and sort of change things that way for Kentucky. It's intriguing and I think it's a sign that we're in a new era of the SEC between with some of the veteran players who moved on from last year, although some veterans are sticking around. Grant Nelson announcing yesterday. We'll see what Mark Sears ends up doing, but there's veterans leaving the conference after a very long time, and there are some new coaches at high impact places. Calipari at Arkansas, Mark Pope at Kentucky.
And a thing to keep in mind, I know a lot of people go, yeah, but the portal's closing tomorrow. It's only closing for players to enter. The basketball portal closes tomorrow, tomorrow night. The football portal is closing tonight at midnight. All that means is players have to be in the portal. They have to have their paperwork filled out to enter the portal. It may be a day or so. You know, remember last time when the portal closed, and a couple of days later, there'd still be news of someone else in the portal. But players are just having to be in the portal. They don't have to reach a decision. And, you know, for basketball players, there's not nearly the rush. There's not a terrible rush for football players, except they'd like to be in school, probably going through the summer workouts at their next place, at their next school. For basketball, there's not a huge rush until later in the summer. So players can take their time, but we'll see. And we're liable to see some more news. As a matter of fact, there was a little concern early this morning. Is there another Auburn football player or two about to enter the portal tonight? We'll find that out. But anyway,
I'll throw a name out for a high impact portal addition. It's got to be tough is when you find out today that if you're a coach, when you find out today they're going in the portal, and that's what Richard Pitino is dealing with at New Mexico. JT Toppin, younger brother of...
Yeah, I saw somebody asking about him.
The third Toppin. Yeah, the third Toppin brother. OB's in the NBA, and his brother was a Kentucky player a couple of years ago. So JT is in the... JT is... And I believe the family is Canadian. So it's also like there's NIL. I think the NIL impacts are sort of up in the air. But yeah, JT Toppin in the portal, and I would think he could be a very in-demand figure, one of the best freshmen in mid-major college basketball last year. Won 9 Freshman of the Week awards in the Mountain West this season for New Mexico. So, I think that's a guy I would think. His brother played at Kentucky, so maybe Mark Pope thinks there's an opening. His brother played at Kentucky for John Calipari, so maybe John Calipari thinks there's an opening there.
I would think. I think those schools are definitely going to be in the running.
And he just played for Richard Pitino. Rick is in St. John's looking to add players too. So you never know who might.
That's what transfer portal does is the that opportunity is there for so many players. I mean, you're playing someplace and you feel like, oh, I've got a chance to play on an even bigger stage.
If Auburn had gotten some bad news from some of their veterans in the portal, I think this is the kind of guy that Bruce Pearl would be all over as well, and JT Toppin. So I'd follow that name because I think he could end up. And I guess Alabama's signing everybody, right? So you got to watch out because he might end up at Alabama like everybody else does right now. So it's there's a name to watch in the portal as we approach the deadline.
I saw where Nathan King tweeted out a couple of hours ago that San Diego State's Elijah Saunders, Auburn's among the schools that have expressed interest in him, and he's a power forward there from San Diego State. So we will see, but it doesn't look like R.J. Godfrey probably headed to Georgia. I'd say sort of scratch through his name on the list of possible players that Bruce Pearl would like to add, but we'll see. In the meantime, Auburn, I believe, was hosting Khalil Jacobs, the South Alabama linebacker. The thing that'll be interesting here is Alabama wants him too, and his head coach last year is now at Alabama.
Yes. Kane Womack.
Yep.
Kane Womack is the former head coach at South Alabama left to be the defense coordinator. I broke that news to you on the air because you were on the cruise.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, have you heard the Kane Womack thing?
You're like, no. It's like, what are you talking about?
What's the Kane Womack thing? I'm like, he's Alabama's DC now. You know, so it's a but I thought that was a – having watched some South Alabama football these last couple of years, I thought that was a really interesting move at the time by Kalen DeBoer to go, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, just like we were talking with Andy in the first hour, if you want to hit the ground running – it really helps to know the territory.
Yeah, you've got to have some people that have connections and know where the talent is and who the coaches
there's
are.
There's a song in the music, man, all about how you got to know the territory, Bill. You got to know the territory. Mm-hmm. You're gonna make sales, and that's going and getting someone who was successful, especially on the defensive side of the football at South Alabama. I think Kane Womack was an interesting move, and it might, as we said at the time, if South Alabama players decide to explore the portal, one would think that Alabama has a leg up.
Wouldn't
on
you think Alabama would be really, really attractive? Yeah, I would think so.
If there's mutual interest, you think that's going to be tough to beat, as it was mm-hmm. last year for a couple of Liberty players that went into the portal, right?
Right.
It was like you'd think that Hugh Freeze has a leg up in that situation.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens. But I would think that if there's mutual interest between a South Alabama player in the portal and the University of Alabama, it's going to be difficult for anyone to unseat that. Although you never know. He could make his own decision.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline. We'd love for you to join us here on the next 15 minutes or so before we catch up with Jake Crane of Crane and Company. Anything that you want to talk about sports-wise, Auburn has another player, and I'm trying – that's what I've been trying to find his name again. There's a San Jose State defensive back that is now cornerback who is scheduled a visit to Auburn for next week. So Auburn's still in the market for another defensive back. And as we said, Khalil Jacobs is in, a linebacker. So Auburn, with those six openings pending anyone else perhaps entering the portal, still looking to tweak things and looking like they're more focusing on the defensive side of the ball right now. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
Our members love us.
Oh, yes, Everson.
502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. 519, Bill and Dan here in the studio. All right, the guy I was trying to find, his name is Javion Cole, is a San Jose State. He was a sophomore this past year, listed at 5'10", 175. Started his career at Cal Poly, where he had his freshman year, had four interceptions as a starter, as a true freshman at Cal Poly, transferred to San Jose State for his sophomore year, finished being ranked among the top 20 coverage cornerbacks in the nation, had three interceptions and a sack along with 100 passes defended. He has visits scheduled right now to Texas, Auburn, and Michigan State. So he's a pretty popular guy there in the portal. And that's interesting. A corner. I mean, Auburn's got Keontae Scott and Kay and Lee. But I guess they'd still, everybody would love to have another cover corner.
And I also, unsolicited, I know we have Jerry hanging on. We'll get to you in just a sec, Jerry. I'll also say, since we're talking basketball, we almost never talk NBA on this show. We don't have a local team of interest.
Right.
We don't really have a star of interest. If you're a casual NBA fan, the most casual of NBA fans, I would say tonight the Knicks seem to be on the verge of winning a playoff series. That game's going to be on TNT right after our show's over. That atmosphere is going to look like is it Neville Arena? What's the craziest atmosphere in college basketball these days? Like whatever it is, whatever the most Madison Square Garden tonight. With the Knicks on the verge of winning a playoff series, up 3-1 on the Sixers at home to close it out, it's going to be a hornet's nest tonight, and it's going to be television that I think you should check out. The Bucks are at home trying to avoid elimination. They're having to do it without their stars. Lillard and Giannis are both hurt. I think the Pacers are going to send the Bucks home. But Knicks Sixers tonight, And from this point on, really, I mean, once you get into the semis, I mean, you're going to see high level, high stakes basketball. So I would, you know, you'll pick a team or two. You got the Clippers, Mavs, and some other series going on later in the week. But the Knicks thing tonight is going to be just like that's something you're going to want to tune into. Like I'm telling you, that's going to be a very lively atmosphere in the Garden tonight as the Knicks look to be on the verge of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Speaking basketball, I was just curious, who is our next target for a power forward?
Well, I mentioned the San Diego State power forward a little while ago. Is a possibility. I don't know. I wonder, you know, I was thinking about it as Andy was talking with us earlier and mentioned the fact that Auburn's got two true freshmen and they expect to play. Well, Ja'Kai Howard, you know, maybe, I think folks haven't really been figuring on him when you count who's going to get minutes. You had Tahad Pettiford being talked about. Maybe Ja'Kai Howard and Chris Moore are going to fill those minutes.
How many spots do we have left?
I think Auburn's got two, but they usually don't use every single, every single scholarship. Bruce usually like to keep one for a walk-on.
Well, there were the self-imposed things earlier in previous seasons, but yeah, Bruce likes to hold on to a scholarship to give to a walk-on if someone earns a spot or wants to reward them or something like that. I would suspect Auburn finds a forward sometime in the next 6 weeks and gives them a couple of minutes, probably somebody who – and, you know, there's no telling who it's going to be.
There's no telling at all. It could be a junior college guy.
Chad Baker Mazzara went from total unknown Auburn recruiting people, except if you followed Northwest Florida junior college basketball. You didn't know Chad Baker Mazzara, and he went from that to committed and signed in a couple of days. Chaney Johnson came out of nowhere and became a target and then a signee for Auburn. I would think they're going to find somebody looking to play – either in competition with minutes for Chaney or behind Chaney as insurance behind the top front court options. I'd be surprised if Auburn entrusted just those minutes to Chris and Ja'Kai alone. Wouldn't be. I mean, they might. I mean, it depends on how they feel about Chris Moore and Ja'Kai being able to share that load. I kind of think they're going to find somebody, but we may not know who it is until moments before he arrives on campus or moments before he puts pen to paper.
Yeah, you're right. But all right, so the guy that I was mentioning a while ago's name is Elijah Saunders, and he's from San Diego State. I'm looking at the San Diego State.
He just went in the portal. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the story says the San Diego State coaches were frantically trying to find a replacement for Lamont Butler, who went to Kentucky for a six-figure NIL deal. Thought they had the rest of their roster set. Saunders went into him on yesterday afternoon, and said, "I'm in the portal," and he's already been contacted by multiple schools. As a matter of fact, let's see, the list of schools
West Virginia's in on him.
Well, it's Washington, Texas, Auburn, Virginia, Ohio State, West Virginia, Arkansas, LSU, Arizona State, Clemson, and Miami all want him to visit.
Would have been I might have my dates wrong, but he might have been a teammate of Chad's at San Diego State. Might have been a teammate of Chad Baker Mazzara a couple years ago. When it depends, I don't know how long he was at. He was at San Diego State, but I think that's right. I know Chad was a teammate of Butler.
I don't know that Saunders was, because he was just a sophomore this past year.
So maybe he did not play with.
He's
with
a 6'8", 230 pounder. So, I mean, that's somebody Auburn is trying to get, but, boy, you heard that list, Jerry. There are a lot of schools that are interested.
Phoenix area kid. Yep. Some folks think Arizona and Arizona State have the leg up, but you never know these days how important going back home is versus the other factors.
Yeah, guys, appreciate the info.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jerry.
Bruce Pearl. So
Bruce has done a great job finding the pieces
absolutely
that fit. I mean, and he found them, you know, from different places, too. Mm-hmm. There are mid-majors. I mean, he's taken guys from in the conference. He's taken guys from out of the conference. Taken guys from the mid-major level, junior college, D2. Bruce Pearl's been able to find guys. You haven't had a ton of international contributions.
No, not yet.
That's been the one frontier that you haven't jumped into yet. But virtually everything else has been explored as Auburn finds talent however they can.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Something we said we'd talk about. We can talk about this a little bit with Jake Crane here in just a little while, is a story that is coming out of about a possible settlement offer that the SEC and Big Ten are behind a possible settlement to try to stop this lawsuit that could bankrupt the NCAA and try to head things off if they can, which would be a sharing of the revenue sharing with collegiate athletes.
And we talked yesterday about, we referenced, I guess, because there are multiple lawsuits that folks talk about. There was the unionization yesterday of the UAB mm-hmm. players.
Right.
That was a news article. The House versus NCAA antitrust lawsuit is the one that is in litigation right now, with the case scheduled to go to trial in January of 2025. If it goes to trial and the plaintiffs win, the NCAA and its member institutions could be liable to pay more than $4 billion in damages.
That would be if the damages are tripled.
That's the $1.4 billion that could be tripled to mm-hmm. over $4 billion because of the rules for antitrust lawsuit payouts.
So the SEC and Big Ten have proposed revenue sharing, which would be in the range of $15 to $20 million per school to be shared. That revenue there would go to the athletes.
It feels like, this is, it's an interesting, the ESPN.com article yesterday discussing sort of the details of what the settlement would mean and how mm-hmm. the settlement would impact college athletics. I mean, the article points out a lot of folks have to get on board before this thing goes to trial in January right. of 2025 in order to get a settlement like this out there.
But if they don't get on board, then there's a chance that there's no governing body.
The article also references that something. Remember when Texas A&M announced layoffs
right.
last week, and we suggested maybe athletic departments are looking to find ways to the cut costs because mm-hmm. they may have to spend more on something that they're not spending on right now. Trev Alberts told the local paper in College Station that he expects athletic departments to start adding $15 to $20 million annually to budgets for what he called a, quote, new expense category, unquote.
Well, and that's exactly athletics. The numbers that we're seeing here in the stories about the proposed settlement.
So if Auburn University, for example, Bill, you know, because you used to work there, if Auburn University suddenly has, you know, they say, all right, we need to find $15 to $20 million in the athletic department budget to pay student athletes as part of a revenue sharing plan, that would impact other parts of the athletic department, right? That would be the case. I mean, just
oh,
you
know, yeah, just it's got to come from somewhere.
Just
I mean,
as you saw with Texas A&M, I mean, some places might add some money to the budget.
Well, you do what you can, but I mean, before you have that, you'd better make sure that you're going to be able to get to have it in case.
Yeah, and I think a lot of even though athletic departments have the revenue coming in from media deals and things like that, you know, I think you might hear about different cost cutting and things in preparation for a world where some of the revenue that used to be distributed elsewhere in the athletic department is now allocated to mm-hmm. to revenue sharing and being paid out to the athletes.
There's so many questions about this, and you wonder how it's going to play out. I mean, you know, the questions about Title IX, and Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, says Title IX is opportunity; it's not equal pay. So, I mean, we'll see it. I mean, that's understandable. But, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, because if there is a, you know, if college football is bringing in all the money, or college football and college basketball are bringing in all the money, it's hard to expect that that's going to be spread out among everyone. Also, I don't see where this stops NIL.
Oh, no. Unless full employment would open up the possibility of, although coaches are allowed to have endorsement deals.
They are, but they have to be approved.
They have to be approved. I mean, but it wouldn't necessarily stop NIL. They just have endorsement deals that would need
right.
to be. Because I don't know even with employment, if you're taking student athlete sponsorship off the table Even
probably not,
because coaches can have it. I mean, one would think that you're not.
I don't know. As employees, if it depends on the type of employees they are.
Right.
Full-time employees at Auburn University, I mean, have to. There are quite a few different things you have to go through before you're going to get any outside, either endorsement or other monies.
But we do see. I mean, I guess I would point to, while Nick Saban was the head coach at Alabama, he was also doing the Aflac commercials.
Right, but it's in his contract that that's what he's getting. So, I mean, it's
but was the Aflac deal with Alabama, or was the Aflac deal with Nick Saban? Like, that's where I would wonder if...
The university still has to okay it for it to be done.
Sure. And so,
it wasn't with the university. I'm sure it was with him.
Yeah, but I wonder
the university. If... But in his contract, he probably in his contract had the ability to do things that were okayed by... So, the university.
I guess that would be a hill to climb once you get.
Oh, there are just so many things.
Because House versus NCAA is sort of two different lawsuits in one. Because House versus NCAA is former student athletes, a group of former college athletes who say that because NIL was against the rules when they played, the NCAA cost them money.
Right.
That's the crux of the lawsuit.
Yeah, did I see 7,000 as the total number of athletes that could be involved?
Yes,
with the
and that's the former and present. And their contention is that the NCAA owes them the back pay that they missed because they were not allowed to collect to earn on their NIL when they were college athletes. And then there's a separate but similar lawsuit that's sort of been folded in, and that's current college athletes who are arguing that the rules in place at the moment are illegal because they are limiting what kind of deals athletes can sign. Like, so there's a question of the legality of the current rules.
And you know, the second one, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that because they have the ability to get so much more than anybody's ever gotten.
But it's still the question of, are the rules legal, right? Like, they're challenging.
What rules are there?
There
are hardly, you know, we're way behind. We need to get Jake, I think.
Okay, we'll take.
But we'll talk with him about this, too. I mean, this is going to be really, really interesting to keep up with. Stick with us. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side. Yeah, it's like... Jake Crane of Crane & Company, we will get him on, and we'll talk with him about the closing here of the transfer portals, both football and basketball. Football portal closes tonight at midnight. The basketball transfer portal closes tomorrow night at midnight. But that won't be the end by any means. It may be a day or two before the dust settles on completely knowing who is in the transfer portal. And then after that, I mean, players, they have, you know, until classes get started somewhere in the fall, if they wish to take that long. But it's good that there at least is an end date that players have to be in the portal by. So we'll see. I mean, could there be any other players from Auburn entering the portal? We will see. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But yes, at least here in the next couple of days, we'll have an idea of who has gone in to the portal. And with that, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our good friend Jake Crane from Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, doing great, guys. Got a lot done. Just got the backyard cut. So it's a good situation right now.
It is yard work weather.
Absolutely
right now.
Is.
Bill Cameron will tell you. I was helping out a little bit this weekend, you know, Jake. Bill's making fun of me because I'm excited about it, but we're coming up on cicada season, Jake. Which, you know, better get the yard ready for it.
Yeah, there's something cathartic about mowing your grass. Now, I'm not saying if you got like 2 acres with a push mower. I mean, there's nothing cathartic about that. That's just pain. But nice little electric mower, rock and roll, man.
Well, see, I've got a robot that does the front yard now, so.
Of course you do, Bill. Of course you do, Bill. I just hope one day you don't have to fight it.
No, you're right. You're right about that. Hey, I still got to trim. I've got to trim and edge everything, and I've got to cut the side and the back. So
it's not like I'm completely. You've earned it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, God knows how much grass you've cut.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Hey, man, what a fun, interesting time this is. Usually this time of year, you know, we're fighting for some things, wondering what we're going to be talking about. There's still so much player movement going on in football and basketball. We've got we were just talking about the possibility of the of a settlement with players trying to avoid the NCAA being totally bankrupted in a lawsuit. I mean, there's a lot going on here in late April as we're about to turn May.
No, I mean, there's more going on right now than in any late April I can remember. And obviously the basketball transfer portal has been a lot kind of not just more active, but you have bigger names. And that's what you expect after spring practice, because if you're hopping in the portal after spring practice for football, most likely it didn't go good. So you're not going to have as many big names in this version of the portal. It's kind of like the new late signing day in February. But, I mean, you know, that you've got playoffs obviously going on in some of the professional sports, college baseball. There's still a lot to talk about. I mean, heck, who knows what's going to go on with this legislation or whatever they're trying to do in college football in a year where we're going to a 12-team playoff, where we have Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, and we have Oregon and all these teams in the Big Ten. It's going to be wild, man.
Jake, it's a you know what? We're still reacting to the NFL draft. It's not really a Auburn has a couple of players selected. I think it's when you get into late round picks, it's exciting for the guys, obviously, and you hope all of them are able to make good on it. But you know where you end up, it's a dice roll. You know, as far as how it's going to work out for them. Is there anyone of the five Auburn players taken in the draft? We'll skip the Bo Nix talk for now. We'll get to that in a moment. But of the five Auburn players taken in the draft, is there anyone you feel really strongly about being able to outplay their draft position or earn a spot? A regular spot on an NFL roster?
Yeah, you know, I think Marcus Harris is a guy that's going to end up being a steal. I was shocked he went as late as he did. I know he's not the biggest guy from a height standpoint. He's kind of a tweener a little bit, but he does multiple things well. I think in an NFL-style defense, being able to move him around, what he'll provide on special teams, you know, it almost makes you feel like he should have came back where he got drafted. I think he could have improved his draft status a lot, but at the end of the day, you know, when you want to go pro, you go pro. He did get selected in the NFL, which is a feat on its own. But I think he has a chance to really kind of over-deliver as compared to where he was drafted. I was glad to see that Nehemiah and DJ ended up on the same team. But if I had to bet on a guy, I think it's Marcus.
Yeah, I think Marcus is a really interesting. I mean, it's tough on the defensive line as far as what you're, to break through. But I think there's a – I think there's a real chance of it. Okay, so let's talk Bo Nix. Bo Nix ending up with the Denver Broncos. It was, I think, earlier than I saw Bo Nix projected in just about any mock draft.
I didn't see him that high in any.
What do you think of Bo Nix's chances as a pro?
Well, you know, I think he's further developed and more ready now than J.J. McCarthy is, to be quite frank with you. Not that J.J. won't be a good player, but you know, Bo feels like he played in college for 30 years. You know, you've seen him be able to make all the throws. He's agile enough, I think, to extend the play from within the pocket and a little bit outside of the pocket in the NFL. And he's a guy you don't have to worry about off the field. You know he's going to handle his business. He's going to want to come in there and lead. And, look, I know Auburn fans are kind of split on Bo Nix. I think him going to Oregon was the best thing for him. Obviously, he ended up being the 12th pick overall in the NFL draft. And when you look at where he was picked, I mean, guys, by that point, I mean, pretty much all the quarterbacks were gone. It was almost like the Broncos had to. We had Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, on today, and he said Sean Payton, you know, he obviously couldn't say this before, but Sean Payton had kind of zeroed in on Bo Nix throughout the whole process, and there was no way he was getting past the Broncos.
Well, Sean's had a little success with quarterbacks, so I think it's a great opportunity for Bo. I mean, he's going in there, and it looks like he and Jarrett Stidham are going to be battling for the starting job. You got Zach Wilson.
Yeah, there's a big-time Auburn flavor there in that quarterback room, and then obviously Zach Wilson
right. Getting
brought in. I think it's going to be one of the truest competitions that we have going into the NFL calendar season is the three-headed comp we got out in Detroit, or excuse me, out in Denver with Jarrett, obviously Bo, and then with Zach.
Talking with Jake Crane of Crane & Company, as we do here on Tuesday afternoons on the drive, and And, yeah, the transfer portal, as we were saying as we brought you in, transfer portal's about to close, even though it may be a day or two before we know who all is in there. And thus far, I mean, you'd have to say that the continuing job that Hugh Freeze and his staff have done in roster transformation, I mean, it has just been very, very impressive.
Yeah, look, I mean, Auburn, he had to take Auburn from the outhouse to the penthouse. And, I mean, all you got to do is look at what Kool-Aid McKinstry said on RG3's show the other day, how important it is to be able to field a team in front of recruits that you know, you can be proud of. It's not just getting drug in front of the home crowd and everybody in the country. And I think what he's done up front, that's where I'm the most excited to see the transformation at Auburn. I mean, yeah, look, Cam Coleman, all that stuff's great. I'm super excited. I like what they have defensively. I know Colton Hood getting into the portal to go play with his brother in Colorado, kind of, yeah, that hurt a little bit from a, you know, future roster standpoint. But getting those three guys coming in with Rakes, obviously, and Crawford, and the way they've kind of put the defensive line together, that's where I'm excited to see the jump, because that's how you bridge the gap.
With the basketball portal, I mean, obviously, Auburn adding J.P. Pegues. They've got Duke Miles in there looking for another experienced point guard.
Any moves you really like, Jake, as far as, you know, just acquisitions in the portal? I was talking about going to Arkansas to play for Calipari, yeah, which is a really good pickup there. You know, one of the better inside big men in the conference last year, you know, staying in the league, but going to anchor things for Calipari. Mark Pope has signed a couple of really impressive defensive pieces, including the four-year starter Lamont Butler from San Diego State, and the big man from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, look, I think Lamont Butler brings a little bit of toughness. I think that's what that Kentucky team needed, was some defensive toughness. You know, it's not all about the flash and sizzle. You got to have some guys in there that are tough, that'll grind, that'll do the garbage things to be able to win the game. I think that's where Kentucky's kind of lacked when it's coming to being able to move on in the NCAA tournament. Lamont and them know all about that. You know, obviously they ran into the buzzsaw that was UConn. Nobody was beating them talking about when he was at San Diego State with Ladee and the rest of those guys. But, yeah, I mean, look, Auburn bringing in Pegues is huge. Getting Duke Miles would be big as well. You know, I was hoping Godfrey from Clemson was a guy that could come in and be able to – you can kind of move around, put him at that three spot, you know, maybe even mix him in a little bit. When you're going smaller, you know, at the four to kind of play around with it a little bit, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. I mean, you got to give kudos to Alabama too. I mean, they're
yeah, no kidding.
Know, whether it's guys coming back, I mean, that team's going to be absolutely loaded. But no, I mean, look, when it comes to Kentucky too, I mean, Kentucky pretty much recruits itself. I don't think it's about getting good players in there. I think it's about getting tough players in there, and I think Mark Pope understands that. But look, college basketball, man. To me, that's the craziest portal there is. I mean, when you look at the ability to flip a team and a roster, obviously having a smaller roster and a smaller team lends itself to being easier to flip it each year. So I've got my eye on it. You know, I was interested to see what Cal was going to do at Arkansas, and he seems to be on a little bit of a revenge tour, and I think that makes him dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I would think he still wants to prove he's got a little bit in the tank, and right now he's got some serious support behind him with the green.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at everybody. That's I mean, it's a monopoly of gazillionaires. It seems like with J.B. Hunt and everybody there at Arkansas, that Walmart and everybody's throwing their money in the ring. I mean, Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's what I always say about these SEC teams. It's like Auburn. They got a lot more money than what they're going to let you know and what people think. I mean, these pockets go pretty, pretty deep, a lot deeper than what some people would assume, even on the high side. So, look, NIL, it's a part of it now. I'm interested to see kind of, you know, what goes on with, you know, becoming employees and things like that. But if you don't have the money, you're not going to be able to compete, just like in every other walk of life, pretty much.
Yeah, great stuff as usual. Jake, what's coming up on Crane & Company?
Oh, man, we had Jim Nagy on today, talked a lot of NFL draft stuff, college football stuff. Tomorrow, got Brandon Crawford talking more college football, Tim Brando this week, Josh Pate, Justin Pugh, former Giants offensive lineman, former Syracuse star. So, look, if you like football, if you like basketball, if you like old-school sports shows, just go to YouTube, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We take live calls, have a live chat, and it's a lot of fun, man.
Always good, Jake. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Great stuff, Jake.
Always, guys. Appreciate y'all.
All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind it down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers. If you're looking for a reliable
platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. Should have Drew back, which is...
Yeah, I believe he will be back tomorrow. And yes, if you're listening on the podcast, and again, today we're efforting a supposed picture that Andy was talking about of the dropped third strike or the foul-tipped third strike, which was not held by the Florida State catcher just before the huge home run by David Ross down in Tallahassee back in 97.
97 Auburn Florida State pictures are the request. And so, reach out to us.
Clay
or
called
Andy,
in.
Or
and
Andy Burcham.
Yeah, Clay said he had never been able to see any of the ball game. So, if there, and Andy said he'd heard about, but he had not seen himself, the picture of the ball just below the catcher's mitt and the Florida State team about to burst out of the dugout and celebrate, but then the pitch was ruled, yes, a foul tip that was not hung onto by the catcher, David Ross with a second life and about to hit the homer. So if anybody knows anything about that picture, Andy said he would search for it as well, but you can contact us here and we'll see if we can help Clay out with that. Fun things. We never know what we may be trying to research or find.
You know who might have a picture or two of that is Jason Caldwell.
You're probably right about that.
And if he doesn't, he knows somebody who probably has a picture too.
That is probably right. That may be where Andy heard about that picture.
And we get to talk to Jason tomorrow.
That is right.
Because tomorrow's Wednesday, and the first hour of the show means Jason Caldwell from Inside the Auburn Tigers, which is still, I know that's not what we're supposed to call it.
Yeah,
anymore,
it's Auburn Undercover now.
I know.
He's with Auburn Undercover and 24/7. Been there with 24/7. But it will always be. You're right. ITAT, Inside the Auburn Tigers.
For those who really know.
Jason, that's right. Jason Caldwell will be joining us in the first hour tomorrow. And, he should be able to be here since there is no midweek baseball, just like Andy being able to be with us here this afternoon.
Looking forward to see it. I mean, look, when Auburn has had upperclassmen transfers on campus, you've gotten a decision one way or the other shortly thereafter, right?
That is right. And Auburn's had a football and basketball visitor on campus today. We'll get updates on those and much more with Jason tomorrow. We're out of time here, though, on the Tuesday Drive. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham, Jake Crane, and all of our listeners. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.